Good evening, everyone. I want to apologize in advance. I know Obed this morning, in his words, said that there's going to be a very special, special guest speaker, and you're kind of stuck with me. So I'm only joking. I'm gladdened and excited to be up here this evening to preach and spread more of God's great word. This evening, I've entitled the lesson, Sin versus Righteousness, Who Do You Serve? And firstly, to kind of open everything, I want us to focus in the book of John, and specifically verse 16. You can turn there if you'd like. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I want to focus on this verse, like I said, because it's universally known. You know, I know maybe some of you didn't have to turn into your Bibles to read it. Maybe you kind of know it already up here in your head. And it's one of, if not the most popular or reread scriptures in the Bible. And you, whenever you ask someone, whether they be Christian or non-Christian, if they know John 3:16, the answer more than likely will be, yes, I've heard of it. But whenever we think about asking what it's saying, that's whenever you're going to hear the conflicting and different answers. You ask, and some may say, well, you know, this verse is saying all I have to do is believe. That's all it says, and I'm good. Or this is proving you don't need to be baptized to be saved because it would be included in this scripture. Or, God loves me. He wouldn't let me go to hell. That's what this is saying. That he's merciful and he understands. And even though I'm not perfect, I can still do as I please and I'll be forgiven. Conflicting answers, as I mentioned. This verse that we just read is widely mistaken for meaning other things. Things people sometimes wish it meant, or just misinterpret and haven't pieced together what it means exactly. Let's focus on it. Whosoever believe should not perish. Should not. Let's focus on those two words right there. And I'm sure I've been up here before and I've talked about this specifically. And if you know me, English is kind of my stronger subject and it always has been. But whenever it comes to the word should, that doesn't sound 100% now, does it? It's not a whole answer, like we mentioned. For example, meaning if you invite me somewhere and you ask, well, are you going to go? Oh, I should be able to go. You'll think, oh, he's not going to go. Or if I were still at Sam's Club working on a tire and a customer came to me saying, well, it's pretty bad. Can you fix it? I should, I guess. Will it get me home safely? I don't know. I guess it should. It's not definitive. It's not confirming anything. It's very wish-washy. Or say if somebody, a concerned customer at work, I work at a bank, if you don't already know, they bring me a check and they're concerned about it. They're concerned about the legitimacy of it. Could be a scam. Could be fraud. I'm not sure. Maybe I should be all right. Sure, let's cash it for you. You know, that doesn't sound like a for sure answer. It's not one that gives you that confirmation. That's because it's only part of what we have to do. When we focus on that verse, it's a part of what we have to go by to try and find and obtain that salvation from our God. That's just one part that many have isolated to make sure that the good fortune, the good news, is on their side. But the Bible isn't just one verse. The Bible isn't just John 3:16, is it? No. So how can we be sure if we are just focusing on one thing? You know, not perish and have everlasting life. You know, that's the high point of the whole verse, isn't it? You know, it sounds amazing, eternal life with our Father. Who wouldn't like that? But what we need to understand was this verse is not focusing solely on what God gave us, like I mentioned. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We need to focus on and realize that it's talking about what we give back to him, not only what he gives to us. When it comes to what we give, we are talking about our actions, not just by saying we believe and by mentioning it in our mind, I believe in God. But we give back to God by what we do. Now tonight, as we mentioned already, we're discussing sin versus righteousness, which one we're serving. And by bringing up John 3:16, it gives us the idea. Like we said, not only what God gives us, but we give back to him, and we'll get more into that here in a few minutes. If we give him our all, we study and we find what we need to fully obtain that salvation that it talks about. Then and only then are we able to comprehend the steps, the multiple steps that are necessary to do so. But if we can't give to God, even after all that he's done for us, then we don't give to him. We're not of him. We're a part of this world. Now, you know, I've mentioned before, it's easy. It's very easy to get caught up in this world because it has plenty to offer. It has a lot of eye candy everywhere. You know, buy this, sell this, do this. People will accept you. People will love you. Don't go against what the world says. If the world says this, do exactly as it says, because you don't want to be canceled. You don't want to be forgotten about. You don't want to be exiled. That's the world speaking. We get so caught up in it sometimes with what the world thinks of us and what we want to get out of it that we don't put our focus where it truly belongs. It can almost get to a point to where we don't even notice it anymore. And it holds this power. It holds all this power over us that we neglect to believe. I don't have a problem. I'm not the only one committing sin. I'm sure a lot of other people are doing it. But I'm not doing it as frequently as I see others. So that can't be as bad, can it? At the end of the day, sin is sin. It sounds like we have an addiction to sin, and like we are prisoners, slaves to it. Just like any other addiction, it's hard to admit that you have an issue. But that's always the first step whenever we want to take them to get better. It's like we try and convince ourselves that we need no correcting, no guidance, no pathway. That there's nothing set for us. We don't want to be told what to do. It's my life. Why can't I live the way I want to? Why can't I just do things my way? But when the things go south and our life isn't going the way that we hoped that it would, who do we go to? Who are we praying to, asking for anything, for help, for guidance, for this, for that, for more chances? You know, if we want help and we want to get better, sometimes people go searching all over for answers. But the truth is, you know, we already have that. What's the Bible for then, if we can't look to it for guidance, for that correction, for those answers that we are looking for? We don't need to go anywhere in this world to find those answers if we want to get to God. We have it already chronicled for us, written down for us. As we mentioned, the Bible has the answers. It has the pathway, and most importantly, the plan of salvation. That power we give anything that is unrighteous and sinful, it holds dominion over us. It controls us. We refuse to admit it, but we give it all the power. Everything that we have in our being, we give it if we are servants of that sin. So much so that we start to put it on a pedestal. We put things above everything else. But then who does that leave out? Are we showing that commitment, that dedication? Are we putting him first to God? Are we putting God first? course we're not. If we're putting everything else first, if we're putting the world first and ourselves, that's impossible. How can we be servants of the world, servants of sin, and also serve the Lord? What? We serve him Sunday in the evening and in the morning, and then on Wednesday evening, and the rest of the days are just for anything else and everything else, and our focus is all just on the world and everything ungodly? Is that what God deserves from us? Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew 6, and we'll focus on verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the other, or to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So how can we serve two masters? It's impossible. As it says, all of our attention and our dedication, our love, our focus, everything will go to one. And the other one will be what? Despised. If we serve sin and put all into the world, we'll never be able to get enough. I don't know if we ever realize that. We'll always be lacking. We want more and more. And we'll never be satisfied. When we put our faith and love, devotion into our God, we don't need to worry for things like that. We don't have to put our 100% focus on just the physical. And if you continue to read, I suggest you do to the end of that chapter, it states that we need to trust God and that tomorrow will bring its own things to come. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that we live carefree without any worry in the world, but we live by making God our number one priority, as we mentioned earlier. We need to make him, put him first in our lives. What he wants, what he says, not I. We give that power to sin. We make ourselves, as we said, slaves to it. It becomes all about pleasing ourselves and doing whatever possible to try and accomplish that. But it's not an accomplishable task. If we turn to the book of John, John chapter 8, verse 34. John 8, 34. Says, "Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." You give that power to God, you give that power to sin, God isn't your master. Your master becomes sin itself. It overcomes you. It rules over you. It invades your mind. If we are slaves of sin, how can we possibly please God or even expect to make it into heaven? You know, we have to make that decision in our lives. We're all presented with the same opportunity. Either we are a servant of God or we are a servant of sin. There's no a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Or there's none of, well, I'm faithful these days, but on these days, I'm not a Christian. There's none of that. We can't have one foot in the dark and one foot in the light. You're either with God or against him. There's no in between. There's no halfway. There's no 85%, 15%, 90%, 10%. It's 100% this way or 100% that way. And either way we choose, we are going to be a slave or a servant. But which master are we choosing? A master that leads to destruction, or one who is the pathway of righteousness? And either decision we make, we need to comprehend and understand it ends the same way with eternity. However, which eternity we're hoping to achieve, an eternity of rest or one of eternal pain and suffering. The choice is ours to make, as we mentioned. No one's going to make it for us. Nobody makes us do anything in our lives. The decisions that we make are in our control. And we were given the ability to make those decisions. We have an ability and a higher level of thinking to discern between right and wrong. But most importantly, not only right and wrong, but what's good and evil. We make those decisions. We need to utilize that ability. And if we realize, whenever we use that ability, that we are not in the light, but in the dark, we need to admit the fact that we have a problem. We become so accustomed to sin, it becomes normal to us. We're unbothered. We're looking at things as if we're not doing anything wrong, as if there is nothing that shows what is right. But as we mentioned before, we have that. What do we have? We have the Word of God. It shows us the way and corrects us and shows us how to change, what steps to take. And after we've heard that Word of God and we believe that to be true, we can make that change. But we ask ourselves, you know, how is all that possible? How can we possibly have that opportunity? If I was doing all this wrong, if I was doing all of this sin, and I'm committed to it, how can we have that opportunity to make that change? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Acts 4, 10 through 12. And it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Another verse that we could look at quickly is John 14 and verse 6. Let's turn there quickly. John 14, verse 6. It says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's two scriptures, two places that we've read. One is Jesus himself, his own words, telling us how to get to the Father. Jesus, he is the way. He is the reason we have that opportunity. No other being, no other force, no other act, but the one made by him is the reason we have that opportunity to obtain salvation and be on that pathway to righteousness. If there was any other way, God would have made it so. But there isn't. From what the Bible tells us, there is no other way. From what Jesus himself said, as we just read, "I am the way." But we think about this as well. You ask yourself the question, did I deserve this? Did we deserve that salvation? What did we do to deserve such a sacrifice that was made? For Jesus to go through all that pain, that humiliation, ridicule, persecution, suffering, he didn't have to do any of that. We didn't deserve it. God did not have to make that sacrifice. We are far from deserving when it comes to that. He went through all that just so that the transaction could be complete, to die in our place, so that way he would never, that way we would never have to suffer as he did. And we remember, and we should remember, that he endured everything and was perfect. He never sinned once. People mocked him. They spit on him. They ridiculed him. They tortured him. He never once sinned. And how do we repay that? We're not deserving of such a sacrifice. But let's look at what God has for us, even though we said we didn't deserve said sacrifice. Let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Romans 5, 18 through 21. And it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As we said, we didn't deserve that salvation because of what? God's grace. Because he loves us and wants us to have that chance. Because he sent his only son to suffer on the cross. We have that opportunity of salvation. Where sin has no more power over us, has no more dominion, control, and we aren't slaves to it anymore. Let's turn one more chapter over to the book of Romans chapter 6. One more chapter over to chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Romans 6, 1 through 7 reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. because of God's grace and his mercy that he had on us, does that mean because he did all that already, that we just get to continue living in sin, knowing that God's grace is there, that because of it, we have that opportunity? Is that a free pass to just sin? As it says, God forbid. Absolutely not. If he had mercy on us and already did something out of love, even though we didn't deserve it, why should we be slaves to sin in spite of already being saved if we're already Christians? That doesn't make any sense. Instead, we need to be servants of the Lord. We need to be slaves to righteousness. That's what needs to be sought out day by day. Not just on Sundays in the morning and in the evening or on Wednesday evenings, day by day. Other points in this chapter, verses 8 through 11. Let's look at those really quick. We'll go on down to verses 8 through 11. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we are being baptized and added to the church that Jesus literally gave his life for, we are reenacting his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Just how he died, was buried, and was risen, when we are added to the church through baptism, the old man, as it says, is put to death. We are buried in a watery grave, make contact with that blood. That's the blood that does the saving for us. It's not the water. It's the blood that was shed by Jesus himself when he suffered on that cross. And when we rise out of that grave, out of that watery grave, we come to, as it says, a newness of life as a Christian. That old man that was a slave to sin, that put everything he had into sin, he's no more. You now have that opportunity to rise to a newness of life as a Christian, a babe in Jesus Christ. That opportunity that should not be lost, squandered, given up. All because of his sacrifice, his life. No other reason. If we continue to go down and focus on verses 17 through 23 in the same chapter, 17 through 23, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For yet when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we become servants of God, servants of righteousness, we're free from that sin. And if we do right by God, we can fight it off whenever it presents itself to us. And it will. Any chance it gets, sin will present itself. We'll try to lure us in. We'll try to make us stumble, make us fall. If we can't fight it off and succumb to it, every single time things get tough, what did we just read? What are the wages if we make those decisions? Death. The wages of sin is death. Plain and simple. And if we do not wish to have that eternal death, eternal suffering, there's only one way, as we said earlier. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Through him, we can achieve eternal life. Lastly, let's look at Romans 6, 1 through 2, once again. We'll just reread it one more time. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? God forbid. Either way, at the end, when we take our last breath here on earth, we will get our wages. Meaning, if we are not saved and we aren't faithful through and through, our wages will surely be, as it says, death. Either way, if you are ready or not, we will either get our wages, which is death for the unfaithful, or for those who are saved and faithful, we received the gift of God, which is eternal life. As we mentioned earlier, the choice is ours to make. No one can make that decision for us. If you are here tonight and you have yet to become a Christian, why put it off any longer? Why wait? Why serve sin and the world? Become a servant of righteousness, of God. You have heard the word. If you believe it to be true, you must repent. You must change and confess Jesus as the Son of God before man, and then be baptized, putting to death that old slave of sin, rising to a newness of life, a Christian. Or if you are already a member of the body and you feel yourself slipping, not being your best, not doing what's right by God, and you need the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ, now is your opportunity as well, as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.